Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Val Story grew up not far from Nashville and cut her vocal chops as a Nashville session singer. She enlisted the legendary Larry Cordell to produce her forthcoming sophomore album, Share Your Secrets With Me, which includes a tribute single to the late Nancy Griffith, Love at the Five and Dime. Val joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about her musical journey and this latest album. Good morning, Val. Welcome to the podcast.
Ah, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm glad that we were able to make this happen so close to a holiday. We're all looking forward to Thanksgiving, eating lots of turkey and sleeping in, taking some naps.
That sounds great.
We were chatting a few minutes offline, and I'm from Virginia, and I noticed that you were spent a little part of your life in Roanoke before you moved south. Tell me about that a little bit.
That's right. So my parents both are from Roanoke. My dad grew up in Roanoke, and my mom actually was born in Marion, Virginia, but they moved to Roanoke when she was a girl. Yeah. So, but my dad and mom, both musicians, singers, songwriters. And so they got the itch to move close to Nashville. So they did in 72. And kind of started doing music here, and then my dad opened a recording studio. But all that good stuff came from Virginia, though. My dad played, gosh, he had a little radio show when he was a boy, and Mama had a gospel group. They were on a TV show together. WSLS, I believe.
Yeah, right.
So cool. It was just kind of in the blood to come this direction, I guess.
Yeah. So you grew up with music and music things around you then. It was part of your
yes.
life.
Yeah. It really, yeah, from day one.
when did you catch the bug? What pulled you into it to the
you
next
know,
level?
I'm not sure if this is what it is, but I always go back to what my mom told me. I was very I'm a very introverted child. And I still have that. It's kind of an extroverted introvert, I guess. Actually, right after we moved to Gallatin, which is just right north of Nashville, my mom and I were in a car accident, and I hardly talked at all. I mean, she told me it was just impossible to get me to talk, and I was a little over 3 years old and should have been talking. And when we were in the hospital, which we were there for about 3 months, she said I just started singing. So I was laying in the bed. I had let my legs were up because they were broke and just all kinds of stuff going on. But she said, you just started singing. I guess I did it maybe to soothe myself, but I'd heard it since the day, well, probably before I was born, And so, it was very soothing to me, I guess. So I guess that's when I really started singing. And then the bug probably hit me about, I would say really hit me at about 11. And I just wanted to be like, there were contests going on, and I told my dad, this is really funny. I told my dad, I said, we had a recording studio. My dad built a recording studio in Gallatin. And so again, introverted and very quiet, I went to my dad and I said, hey dad, I want to be in a talent show. He said, really? And I said, yeah. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to sing. And he said, can you sing? And I said, I think so. So he was so sweet and brought a band in the studio and let me record my first, little things to kind of practice and then have a track for the talent show.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's kind of where it really started. And
did you get in?
I loved it. I did, and I won.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's encouragement.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really, really something. So. But
when did it happen for you professionally? When did you move out of that phase and into doing something full time?
Well, interesting enough, because of the studio, I had a lot of opportunities, I think, because of that and because
I imagine,
of my dad being a musician and my mom being a singer and songwriter herself. My mom started working with two of the Jordanaires, with it, and another lady. They had a quartet that they worked together.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really, really neat. And then when I was about 14, 15, I don't remember the circumstance, but I just remember that the other lady who was in the group wasn't able to make this session. So they asked me if I would do it. And I was like, oh, scared to death, you know, Jordanaires. And I was like, well, okay. You know, so we went in the studio, and so that was my first professional recording, was with two of the Jordanaires, which was Dwayne West and Ray Walker.
And
I loved it, you know. And then I started doing studio work. I started traveling with a gospel group called Pure Faith when I was about 14 too, and we traveled every weekend doing gospel shows at different churches and events. And then I got a little older and started doing demo work for songwriters. And I did that for a long time. And I did sing out. Like, I sang at a jazz club in Nashville when I was like 16. And I know it was crazy. I've done so many things, but I feel very lucky though. I've had a lot of different experiences with different music, and I just love great music. So,
yeah.
But I guess the demo singing, I did that so much. And then I decided one day I just wanted to go ahead and record an album, because I was getting a little bit older. So I did a gospel album, which I did that so my grandmother would be very happy, and she was. I got married. I had two children. I stayed home, did demo work. And about 8-9 years ago, my daughter, who was heading to college, said, Mom, you really ought to go out and sing live again. And I thought, no, I don't think so. The introvert in me was like, no, I don't, you know. And long story short, by the grace of God and just some little things that happened without really me doing anything. I mean, I did pray about it. And I asked God, I said, you know, if you want me to go out and sing, show me. Because I don't want to go knocking on doors. I'm at a place in my life where I love doing the demo work. I love doing background vocals. I love all that. I love being in that, you know. But if it's something you want, you show me. And I promise you, it was not something that they put me on the books at the Station Inn. I went in and they told me, and I said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, we've got you on there for January 22nd. And I said, no, I think you got the wrong person. They said, no. And the sound guy, who actually is my ex-husband, came over. He could tell something was going on, and he came over and he said, oh yeah, I told him you need to be singing again. So you're on the, you're on the books for the 22nd. I said, I don't even have a band.
Wow.
And he goes, you better get one. So, and that started the whole, so I've done so much in the last 8-9 years, probably more than I've done my whole life. I mean, I've been so busy, and God's just really gave me opportunities and put me around the best people I could be around. And I just feel very fortunate. So
when did you you've cut two records, you've got a new one, and then the first one. So was that around about that time then? The first full
record? The first one I did, I guess I was about 26 when I did the gospel album. And I was so busy recording with other people that I really wasn't doing a lot of recording of my own stuff. So I'm catching up now. So we've got new record, and we actually have another record started. It'll be probably finished in the next few months.
And, oh, cool. Okay.
And talking about another one. So, so I'm making up for lost time.
Yeah. are you writing some of your own material?
I am doing some writing. We've got a couple on this first album, and there'll be a couple on the next one. Been fortunate again to get in and write with, some of the best songwriters, in my opinion, ever. I've written a lot of different kinds of songs, but songwriting's a whole, it's a different thing. You know, my big thing is, I'm like, am I done? Is this song done? I always, because I overthink everything. And so I have to go to one of them and say, is this done? You know? And they're like, well, yeah, I think it is, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
but, yeah. it's a weird thing, especially when you're around those kind of songwriters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but man, what gracious people they have been. So, I'm trying to write more too. I'm making a goal of that. So
we're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
Do you have a process that you follow? Do you have an instrument of choice that you write with? Tell me a little bit about the process for you.
Yeah, usually acoustic guitar, usually. Mm-hmm. I say that, but however, there's sometimes I get melodies in my mind that I need a piano player, somebody mm-hmm. that, you know, really can hear mm-hmm. whatever that chord is that I'm, you know, or they have different choices of chords, which, you know, make it, I can hear it, but I can't play it on the piano, if that makes sense. And mm-hmm. some of them are so obscure that I don't play on guitar either. But most of the time, it's, at least for the projects we've been doing, is mainly guitar. And, you know, the process for me, a lot of times we just go in and talk. Mm-hmm. We just start talking or say, you know, we might say, hey, I heard this person the other day say, you know, like, oh man, you know, it's really good. And, you know, we might try to write something around that or think it through or what's the story, you know, and mm-hmm. then, you know, write it. And, but we actually, this, the ones that's on this new record, we were in writing, we're trying to, up-tempo songs are really hard to find and they're needed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But, and for an artist who loves ballads, it's really hard to find an up-tempo song that you're like, yes, this suits me. So we went in to do that. We went in to write kind of a shuffle. We thought we need a shuffle on this record. And so we did. We wrote the shuffle and it was really good. And we, you know, felt like we were singing it through and everything. And I said, you know, man, I love this, but I really like slow and sad. You know, I love slow and sad songs. And so the one of the other writers said, oh my gosh, let's write that slow and sad. And so we wrote this beautiful ballad that sounds like something Patsy Cline would have done.
Cool.
And so proud of that. And so we stayed there longer that day and said, let's do that. You know, so that was really, really one of the, just a very exciting thing for me, because I know that's a great song, and I, not because of me, but because of where we were at. And I think a lot of times that's how songs, or at least great songs, happen. I think sometimes the less thought about, where it just kind of flows, it comes out, you know, because a lot of people, they'll say, oh, I wrote that hit song, you know, in like 10 minutes, you know, and then they'll go, oh, I wrote that one, took me days to write that, you know, or whatever, so. But so everybody has a different process, I think, and that's what I love about co-writing.
Yeah,
you know,
I heard somebody maybe in one of the interviews make the comment that it's, if you spend enough time, you can write a good song, but oftentimes you just bump into the great songs. They're just there, kind of waiting to be stumbled into, you know. And so that seems like a very from the stories I hear from other people, it seems like that's true often. It's the great ones are the ones you really just kind of bump into. They're waiting mm-hmm. to be discovered.
Right. And then when they are, they just start kind of flowing,
flowing
out. And I've always been amazed how words, you know, can work together. It's like, wow, that's like, they're perfect. You know, it just amazes me when I listen to different lyrics of songs or read lyrics of songs. I'm like, see, if we didn't have that word, that wouldn't work. You know,
it's
just bizarre to me sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just kind of flows out sometimes. And that's, I like that. That's nice. It's better than getting in and kind of, you know, sitting in a think tank.
Right. Yeah.
So
the record is Share Your Secrets With Me, right? Is that
the, right? That's the title of the record.
And Larry Cordell helped produce it.
Yeah, well, Larry Cordell is producing it. Yep. That's correct. And Chris Latham's doing who's a fantastic engineer. You know, been doing that part for us, and have great musicians. Oh my gosh, on this record, I mean, I can't. There's just so much that's happened with this thing. So, but I will tell you this: Cord, we call him Cord, mm-hmm. or the Mighty Cord.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He's always been one of my favorite singer-songwriters, but but a great, what a great guy. And you know, when, before we even went in to do these records, he had told me, you know, we've been doing Station N for several years already. And he said, Val, you know, you really need to do a record. And I was like, oh, Cord, what would, you know, cause music is so different now. I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, what would I do with it when I, you know, if I did it? And he said, your kids would have it. If nothing else, you would have, that this was me. I was here, you know, and I thought, okay. And then we, you know, and they told me, he said, and this is what got, well, his talent is what made me choose him as a producer, but because I had some options. But he told me, he said, I will pay for it if you will do it.
Wow.
And he's not, but he's graciously giving all of his time and his producing just from his heart as a labor of love. And that's what he told me from the beginning. So, I thought, man, when somebody wants to do something enough,
mm-hmm.
they're willing to do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to do it and their heart will be in it. Yeah. And that's what I love, you know? So, but man, all the things on this record that will be heard, that it's like, oh, that was really cool, or that was really neat. I can almost guarantee you it was a Larry Cordell idea.
Wow. That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So you mentioned playing a lot currently. So will you get to go out with this record? Are you going to try to do some festivals and tour? Do you have a band together for this?
I don't necessarily have a band. I can put one together pretty quick, just from, you know, folks I know and mm-hmm. things like that. But and the Monday Band would be great. But a lot of them, they travel with so many, you know, they've traveled with people themselves. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. My hope really is to just get it heard as much as I can, and maybe do some. I'd love to do some overseas touring, to be honest, wow, like in the UK, cool. and do things. And I've had a lot of, surprisingly, and a lot of response already from that part of the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I kind of, Greg, I'm kind of one. I mean, I'll work hard to get things happening. Mm-hmm. However, I really do always kind of just say, God, show me where you want me.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
He has always done that. And that brings me such peace, because I know I'm in the place I'm supposed to be.
Yeah,
and that may not
awesome.
Be in front of a gazillion people. It may be in front of 15,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
but I know that I'm supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they're supposed to be there. So that's right. just kind of the way. But I do. I mean, I'd love to travel and do shows. So, you know, COVID's changed things a lot, too.
Yes.
Just with still just trying to, you know, make things work. So, but I hope so.
Well, it looks like the festival scene is waking back up. Maybe
it
you
is.
Know it did. It did some in 21, and it seems like. People's intentions are for it to be kind of back to normal in 22. So
yes.
we're hoping for that anyway.
Absolutely. It's time.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
You're
yeah.
not kidding.
And
yeah.
you know, boy, when what during all that, I mean, I don't know about you, but you talk about missing. You know, I had a lot of musicians, friends of mine say, you know, can you imagine not ever being able to do that again?
Yeah.
And, I'm like, no, you know, and as much, I mean, I love singing. I never listen to myself after I've recorded something. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't I mean, I'll fix things if I need to fix something
mm-hmm.
that I know,
mm-hmm.
but at some point I have to go, okay, you make a choice, because I overthink
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
So, but just the feeling of doing something on stage, singing a song or a lyric that move somebody that means something to them or takes them away from their troubles a little while, that
mm-hmm.
that means, that's why I sing.
Yeah,
honestly, it
yeah.
is. And and it comforts me,
sure,
you know.
Yeah.
So
well, that brings yeah. the divine back into it, you know.
Right.
If you following that to begin with, and you can make that connection on stage, it doesn't have to necessarily be a religious experience. It can
You're right.
it can be something they're taking away because they needed to hear what you had to sing.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Music is powerful.
It is. Yep.
It is.
Yep. I'm glad we're getting it back.
Yes.
Many artists did what they could to keep it alive, but there's something special about being in the audience. And I know from your perspective, being on stage, when you've got that
mm-hmm.
three-dimensional connection there, it's not the same as
You're
watching
right.
it on a computer. So.
Yeah, and it showed. I think a lot of that showed people we need each other.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You know? Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
So you mentioned there's more on the way. So soon on the next one, are you about ready to start recording that one?
Well,
are you that close?
We actually when we went in on this first one. Which was pre-COVID. It was right before COVID. Okay. So everything shut down. But we recorded 15 sides, and which is kind of just an odd, but there were songs that was just like, I really want to do this. Mm-hmm. So we did. And then when we got back in after COVID, because everything had to shut down, mm-hmm. We revisited all that and Cord said, Val, you got 15 sides. If you do 5 more, you got another album. So why don't we do that?
I
said, so we did. We went ahead and recorded those tracks, and then we split them to say, this is going to be on this album. This will be on this album.
Oh, cool.
And then we started, of course, working on what was going to be on the first album, getting all that done. And then... and we're very, very close with the whole thing now, so it won't be too long. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start working on the second one. So, yeah, it's just...
That's awesome.
It's crazy. I mean, making up for lost time. Yeah.
So if folks want to check out the new record or get on your mailing list, be in touch, what's the best way to make all that happen?
Gosh, Val Story Sings, and it's Story, Story, valstorysings.com. And go on there and say hi to me. There's a place where you can say hi. And then I'm on Facebook, all social media stuff. Val Story Sings also, Instagram, all that. So, and I love to hear from folks. So if there's somebody out there and you want to ask me something or say hi, I'd love that. So I like to see who's out there and who's listening. And means a lot to me.
Music on Spotify, iTunes, all the streaming. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you for that, Greg. I'm not a good salesman.
No, that's all right.
Yes. No, you're right. Yeah. All those streaming things, Spotify, Amazon Music. Gosh, I guess. I don't even know all of them.
Oh, there's so many.
I know they're out there.
Right. There's so many. That's good. Well, somebody's got you in the right place. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Val. This has been great. I've enjoyed learning your story and wish you well with all of it. This sounds exciting.
Thank you so much. It is. And I'm grateful and thankful to you for being able to do this interview today. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.